1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 reads, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Amen. On last week, we finished up with verses 7 through 10. And from our main point from those texts, really verses 4 through 10, but we, as a whole, but we focused last week on verses 7 through 10. And the main point again from those verses were true Christians do not practice sin. We listed a number of points from Christians must not be deceived about those who are truly righteous and those who are truly unrighteous, to the last point being Christians must recognize that the spiritual identity is made obvious by whether one practices righteousness. And again, that was from verse 10, where John said, "By this is evident who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." And then now, today, our main point from our text for verses 11 through 15, true Christians love one another. Again, last week we said true Christians do not practice sin. And this week we're saying true Christians love one another. And our application points, we have four. First, Christians must recognize that they are commanded to love one another. Secondly, Christians must recognize that they must not practice evil deeds. Next, Christians must recognize that the evil world will hate them because they are righteous. When I say they, that's a reference, of course, to the Christians. And then finally, Christians must recognize that those who hate are still on the path to hell, while those who love are on the path to heaven. And let's look at our text here and follow along as we interpret our text and look to make the right interpretation of our text and then the application, see if we see these application points here that I just made mention of, opening up again at verse 11. "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Here's John making the point that we've heard this from the beginning. What have we heard from the beginning, John? That we should love one another. And if you go back again to verse 10, you see how he closes with verse 10. "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." You are not a child of God if you do not love your brother. You are of the devil if you do not love your brother. Again, do not practice righteousness. But John ends verse 10 with the one who does not love his brother. And then in verse 11, he comes and says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Naturally, the question can be asked, well, what is the beginning? Well, you could say beginning of the Christian message, that this is what the Christian message has always been about. If you go back to Jesus' own words, in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, John 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Again, let me read that. "A new commandment," Jesus says, "I give to you, that you love one another." Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So you can see why I have as our first application point here, Christians must recognize that they are commanded to love one another. This is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is what Jesus has taught us. This is what these believers came in hearing, love one another. Jesus also says in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then in John 15, verse 17, John 15, verse 17, Jesus says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Love one another. Love one another. So then it's not surprising, this is what Jesus has been saying all along, that we see this stress in the epistle of John. 1 John here. Although we haven't gotten to this verse yet, we're going to get to it, God willing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Love one another just as he commanded one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4, 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And one last one, 2 John verse 5. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, John says, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. 2 John verse 5. So this emphasis on loving one another, this is the message. This has always been the Christian message. This is what the Christian message is about. This is why I can make the main point. True Christians love one another. This is what Jesus has taught us. This is what Scripture points us back to. Love one another. And again, he says, this is what you've heard from the beginning. So it's nothing new. And Christians must recognize again, as Jesus said, this is how we will be identified as people who love one another. Now, obviously, some might disagree how we tend to love one another, because the way some want to be loved is not a scriptural love. It's not a love based upon the Bible. It's a worldly love, a worldly affection, and not based on truth. Not based on speaking truth or accountability or telling them that, hey, you cannot do this and that you must do that. They want you to just say, hey, as long as I'm doing whatever I want to do and the way that I want to do it, you shouldn't say anything to me. You shouldn't discipline me. There shouldn't be any type of, let's say, instructions given to me as far as change behavior. No. There is a right way to love, and that right way is according to Scripture. And this is what God has commanded us. We are not to, and to give you one other example here, The Bible says God disciplines those he loves. Just talking about what people want to think about love and might think that, let's just say, the way the Christian will seek to love one another is not according to the way the world does it. Yeah, we have a different way of loving, again, according to, and I'll say a different way, a truthful way of loving according to God's word. But we see our first point here where John again says that we should love one another. And then notice verse 12, he says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Notice my second application point. Christians must recognize that they must not practice evil deeds. Where am I getting this practice of evil deeds from? Well, if you look at what the scripture says, John is taking us back to Genesis chapter 4, where Cain murdered his brother Abel. And the murder of his brother, if you think about it, murder is the opposite action of love, is it not? It's showing you that Cain was not truly loving his brother, because if he was truly loving his brother, he would not have murdered his brother. In that Greek word there, that strong word of kill, murdered, some would even say butchered his brother. It's showing you his deed. Notice how John says it, because his own deeds were evil. His own deeds, not just deed, his own deeds were evil. This action by Cain showed what type of person he was and what he was practicing. Not only what type of person he was and what he was practicing, but also who he belonged to. Notice how the verse says it there. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. He was of Satan. He was doing the deeds of his father. You might think that's a strong phrase to use to say of his father. But in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says this: you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's John 8, verse 44. So you see, those of Satan, those who do these evil deeds like murder, well, these are the ones who are not practicing love. They are not the ones who are practicing righteousness. And certainly then, going back to what we said, true Christians do, true Christians love one another. And Paul and John says here, well, you're not to be like Cain, because we see that he was not one who loved the other, who loved others by what we saw he did to his brother. And notice again what drives him again. And why did he do this? Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. His own deeds were evil. Now, and if you think about, and he says his brothers were righteous, we know that the deeds of Abel was righteous. Again, the scripture brings this up. And even when you start to look at other scriptures in the New Testament that speaks of the blood of Abel, it speaks of the blood of Abel as this righteous thing. Or this righteous person. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. That was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Barakiah. So righteous blood, righteous Abel. And then again in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Again, all of these pointing to righteous Abel, righteous blood of Abel. So on one hand, you have the contrast of here's Cain, this murderer, this one who does evil deeds. And then on the other hand, here you have Abel, who was righteous. And John says, you have to make sure that you are not like Cain. Notice again, that's open in verse 12. We should not be like Cain. Don't be like Cain. Don't be like the one who murdered his brother. Do not be like the one who practiced the evil deeds. Do not be like the one who is of Satan, his father, Satan, because of what he did. His actions only showed who he was really, showed his true character. He was a murderer, just like Satan was a murderer. And again, Jesus says, you are the father, you are of, tell the people back in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. It does not stand in the truth. So again, as Christians, we must recognize that we are not to practice these evil deeds. We're not to be one who murders, who kills, who lies, who steals. And you can see how this contrasts from those that are called, are commanded to love. If I'm loving as the scripture has commanded me, then I can't be over here murdering. I can't be over here lying. I can't be over here stealing. I can't be doing all these other things because I'm loving. And so, that being the case, we recognize again that we're not to practice these evil deeds. And then in verse 13, he says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Now, do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, of course, that the world hates you. Well, why would the world hate us? Well, going back to verse 12, notice the reason why Cain murdered Abel. Notice what he tells us at the end of verse 12. Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Because Cain saw that his brother is living a righteous life, he's making righteous sacrifices, that provokes Cain to murder his brother. And John says to these Christians, and I say to you, do not be surprised if the world hates you. Why would the world hate us? Well, because you are righteous and they are evil. Notice I say, Christians must recognize that the evil world will hate them because they are righteous. Well, does not Jesus Christ makes the same point to us? In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, that's John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, Jesus says this, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. And then in John chapter 15, verse 25, Jesus says this, but the word that was written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. What reason would they hate Jesus Christ? Jesus hated me without cause. He's the righteous one. He's the holy one. They're evil. Their deeds are evil. He is righteous. They hate him. Scripture says they hated him without cause. Even in John chapter 16, starting at verse 1, notice what it says in John chapter 16, verse 1. He says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you that their hour comes. You may remember that I told them to you. They're going to hate you. They're going to kill you. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Why? Because you're righteous. Because you belong to me. Because I've chosen you out of the world. Since you have been chosen out of the world and you are not of the world hates you. They're evil. They practice evil deeds. You practice righteous deeds. They hate you. Notice again, going back to verse 12. Why did Cain murder Abel? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. No, nothing more. Well, you would think it has to be something more that would prompt Cain to kill his brother. No, just his brother just being righteous. Him just being evil. That's enough. See, he says, John says, so do not be surprised if the world hates you. One last one here. Well, two other verses right quick on this. In John chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus says this, I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's in John chapter 17, verse 14. And then one other one in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is what they've always done. This is what the evil world, this is what these evil unbelievers of this world, that is what they do. They persecute Christians. They hate Christians. These would be the same people that would tell you if Jesus was here that they would be these followers of Jesus Christ, or that they don't associate with Christians today because these Christians today, these are not truly Jesus followers. But if Jesus was here, oh, now that's who they really would follow. But his people, no, they don't follow the people of God. They're not in Jesus' church. They're not a part of the body of Christ. They're not following his teaching. But they still want you to believe that they would be these ones who are followers of Christ if he was here. No. The same way they killed him back then, the same way they would look to kill him today. And the same way they hated him back then, the same way they will hate him today. And the same way they hated Christians back then, the same way they hate Christians today. And so he says, do not be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. Verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Application point. Christians must recognize that those who hate are still on the path to hell, while those who love are on the path to heaven. You know, I find it, I know I've made this point to you all before, how John continues to set up these contrasting categories. Death, life. Hatred, love. Darkness, light. Cannot be a part of both. Hey, if you hate, you're part of the death group. You're part of the darkness group. You're part of the hell group. If you love, you're part of the life group. You're part of the light group. You're part of the heaven group. That's it. Right? I mean, notice again. We know. He says, we know. We have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Because now I love the brother, because I now love the brotherhood of saints, where I once was in death, spiritual death. Once I was spiritually dead on my way to hell. But now since I now have been awakened in Christ and now I love the brethren. He says you have been transferred. You have moved from spiritual death to life, eternal life. And he says, everyone, notice again, love. You go from, we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brothers. So loving, I'm coming to life. Then he says, whoever does not love, well, he's still in death. And this person who's not loving, well, he hates his brother and he's a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. It doesn't add up. You can't mix the categories. It doesn't allow you to be this person that hates others and still say, but I'm going to heaven. So as I like to give the example of dealing with hatred in this country, when we think back to how Psalm looked back at what blacks went through in the country as far as racism and all, segregation. Yes, they did suffer, no doubt about that. But again, you have to think about how the whites suffered also in believing that they could hate their brothers and sisters and still be a part of the kingdom of God. You got to remember that these people are in churches and the pastors and the churches are telling them, well, it's all right to hate. It's all right to not love the black man and to believe that they could have that hatred and still make it to heaven. That's sad. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this, in the same way, I recognize that many were deceived by hatred and evil and wickedness at that point. The same way I see today with some who want to believe that because of what blacks have gone through and what some have suffered at the hands of whites, that now they can have hatred towards whites and still make it to heaven. That's just as crazy. And you see religions or faiths or denominations that still allow this. And you'll see, even when it comes to not just black and white, so, you know, it could be different ethnicities. You see it also when it comes to people's hatred toward the Jews. And they'll justify their hatred toward the Jews. They'll say, well, the Jews killed Jesus Christ. And so since the Jews killed Jesus Christ, they feel like their hatred is justified. All along, the scripture is still telling you clearly and plainly that you have to love. And that if you do not love, notice, whoever does not love abides in death. You're still on the road to hell because you don't love. And to show you just how extreme, or to think about how this hatred is to be characterized. Notice how verse 15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. A murderer? John, that's very strong language. John, just because the person hates his brother, you want to label him a murderer? Yes. Yes. Hating and murdering takes you to the same place. He says, you know, just so you could be certain about this, you know, no murderer has eternal life in him. He's going out here killing somebody, just taking him out and just killing. No reason, just murder. Or let's just say even what his justified, what he thinks is a justified reason. But you have murdered someone. He says, now, you know, that person has no eternal life in him. You know, he's on the road to hell. He says the same way, you know, that person on the road to hell, you could be sure that the person that hates, he's on the road to hell also. Same path. Because again, we who love, we are the children of God. Notice what we've already said in verse 10, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. But it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice his righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. You do not love, then you are not of God, you are of Satan. This is how you know that you are the child of God, by loving. People still want to believe that they can hold on to their hate and hold on to heaven, all the while not recognizing, while they're holding on to their hate, they've never left the road of hell. They're still on a road to hell. They're still headed on that path, not having eternal life abiding in them. Notice again, verse 10 of verse 15. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Eternal life. That's what we want. Life. John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that you know that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life. How can you expect to have eternal life when you have hatred in the heart? You don't receive eternal life being ones that hate. Because those that have accepted Jesus Christ, have placed faith in Jesus Christ, have been born again. We are this new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the hatred and the darkness and the evil and all that goes along with that old life, that has been put away. So now how are you going to be this mean, nasty, murdering, hate-filled person, and you're talking about you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you saying that you have all of these things inside of you along with eternal life? No. Cannot be. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Notice again, and you know. It's not confusion here. It's not like this. It's a maybe, maybe not. We're not for sure. No, it's certain. That's why I say again, Christians must recognize that those who hate are still on the path to hell. It is a certainty. And while those who love are on the path to heaven, that's also a certainty. So we don't have to be confused. These things are, again, obvious. Again, going back to verse 10, 1 John 3:10, these things are obvious, who the children of the devil are and who the children of the God, who the children of God are, who are on the road, who are those that's on the road to heaven and those that are on the road to hell. It's not confusing. It's not something of a mystery to try to figure out. No, the categories have been established. The word of God is clear. Again, when you start to think about it, on one side, life, love, light. Other side, death, hatred, darkness. What side are you on? The child of God side or the child of the devil side? Are you on the heaven side? Are you on hell side? By your actions, we can look and tell. And if you still have the hatred in your heart, you're on the wrong side. If you got the love for the brethren, the scripture says, hey, you're on the right side. Amen. Let us stand.